live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, investigations are continuing following a search operation in West Donegal yesterday in which several rounds of ammunition were recovered. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has lent his support to protesters today in Dublin, calling on the government to reverse the decision to close over 150 post offices across the country. SIP2 representatives have dismissed claims made in a statement from the management at the Rapid Action Packaging Plant in Gaydor concerning the conduct of union activity. A gust of up to 120 kilometres per hour can be expected from tomorrow morning as Storm Ali makes its way to Ireland. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, investigations are continuing following a search operation in West Donegal yesterday. A number of rounds of ammunition were recovered during a raid at a property in Annagry carried out by Gardaí and members of the Garda Armed Response Unit. A 44-year-old man was arrested at the scene on suspicion of possession of ammunition. He has since been released without charge and a file is being prepared for the DPP. Management at Letterkenny University Hospital have issued a statement today apologising for any distress caused as a result of long wait times at the hospital's emergency department. The hospital is one of the country's most overcrowded for the second consecutive day, with over 40 people awaiting admission there this morning. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The latest Trolley Watch report has revealed there were 42 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, 10 on trolleys in the emergency department, a further 32 people waiting on wards. It was the third most overcrowded hospital in the country this morning, a position Letterkenny University Hospital has now held for the past 2 days. Management have apologised for any distress caused to patients or their loved ones who are experiencing long wait times. Among the measures being taken to reduce waiting times, they say, are the transfer of appropriate patients to community care settings, communication with GPs to ensure patients are referred to the emergency department only when appropriate, and extra ward rounds by consultants. Management are also reminding the public to only attend the emergency department in the case of real emergencies, saying they should contact their GP or GP out of hours service in the first instance.
SIP2 representatives have dismissed claims made in a statement issued by the management at the Rapid Action Packaging Plant in Gaydor last week concerning the conduct of union activity. Union members at the factory are due to conduct a 16-hour work stoppage on Monday in response to the company's refusal to recognise workers' rights to union representation for collective bargaining purposes. Management claimed they had not received the full details of the ballot carried out and that SIP2 members working at RAP had no issues with the company other than union recognition. However, SIP2 organiser Declan Ferry says he has written to the operations manager refuting claims made last week.
We've had no complaints back from any of our members in relation to the allegations from management. Secondly, we always conduct our ballot and any in accordance with the Industrial Relations Act and union rules, so we have no difficulty there. And we also go on to say that anybody that wants to, any third party that wants to look at the outcome of the ballot, the results, we have all that in tow. We have still the ballot papers. We have to hold on to them for a year. And anybody that wants to see those, be our members or be a third party, then we make accessible for that. So we have nothing to hide here.
And at this stage, while there appears to have been a lot of toing and froing from the company, are you still open to engage with talks with management ahead of Monday?
Absolutely. We remain available with talks at all times. We'd hope that management would pick up the phone and talk to us, rather than us take any form of industrial action. Do 100 years of trade unionism, and we simply refuse to recognise trade unions as not on.
At the end of the day, it is important that your union members are represented.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah. I mean, the Labour Court has told the company that they should recognise the trade union for any employment-related matters. And that is what our members are mandating SIP2 to do, is to go and get that right for them to have a voice and to be represented by SIP2, their trade union.
And a full statement from SIP2 is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Gusts of up to 120 kilometres an hour can be expected from tomorrow morning as Storm Ali makes its way to Ireland. A status orange wind warning has been issued for 13 counties, including Donegal, with a yellow alert in place for the rest of the country. Western coastal counties, along with Ulster and parts of Leinster, are expected to be impacted the most. Met Éireann forecaster Deirdre Lowe says winds will start to die down around lunchtime tomorrow.
The storm is going to track quite quickly. So it's going to be at the worst in the southwest of the country during the early hours, the west later in the morning, and in the other parts of the country during the late morning into the early afternoon. And after that, the winds will abate. And just to note that we also have a yellow warning in operation for the whole of the country tomorrow.
Meanwhile, slow down, anticipate danger and expect the unexpected. That's the message from the Road Safety Authority. A spokesperson for the RSA, Brian Farrell, is asking motorists to be wary of potential danger as Storm Ali approaches.
The obvious message is to check local and weather traffic reports before you head out on your journey. And the obvious things we're looking out for is potentially, you know, fallen branches and trees and other debris on the road that might be blocking the road. But of course, you need to expect the unexpected when you're out there using the roads, and, you know, expect things like wheelie bins blown onto the road to, as I said, downed trees and even branches.
Landlords should be banned from increasing rents, according to two political parties. Sinn Féin and the Social Democrats want a rent freeze to make it illegal for the cost of rent to go up. The Taoiseach has resisted the idea, saying he doesn't think it would work. But Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says it's the only way to avoid pricing people out of the market.
And we've seen double-digit rent increase, 17% in some cases in some parts of our island, outside of the rent pressure zones, increase year on year. Our rent freeze would be right across the state. As I said, it's an emergency measure. It's there because we have absolutely rents that are out of control. We need to bring them into line.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle lent his support to protesters today in Dublin, calling on the government to reverse the decision to close over 150 post offices across the country, 17 of which are due to close in Donegal. Hundreds of people marched from Trinity College to Leinster House earlier today. Deputy Pringle says the government's vision for the post office network is wrong and a complete overhaul is needed to ensure the service is retained for rural communities.
I think it's vitally important that we do remember, and you know, that it's both Fianna Fáil and St Gaeil that have closed post offices across the country, and particularly in our own county of Donegal now, where Fianna Fáil are proposing to close 17 post offices in the next couple of months. Fianna Fáil have closed very many post offices as well, and if we want to change this, and if we want to be sure that our post offices stay open and that they provide the proper services that our communities want and need, we have to make sure that we get rid of Fianna Fáil and St Gaeil ultimately.
And indeed, we have heard time and time again of a decline in rural Ireland, but again, this is what is happening, the services are declining.
Yes, that's right, and it's because they are being deliberately run down, and you know, and we get to constantly get treated to the government talking about the extra services that Impost can roll out, but then they insist that these services have to go out to tender, and Impost have to tender along with other organisations to provide the services, and I think that's wrong. I think Impost is a state body that should provide the state services and can do that in the communities that they represent and the communities that they serve. That's vitally important, the way it should be done. And then roll out the services and ensure that our post offices can provide those services, and they will always be services that are required that it won't have a monetary value on them, but they will have a value in terms of the goodwill and the strength and keeping our society alive and keeping our rural communities alive, which is vitally important.
Meanwhile, a Donegal County Councillor believes that every post office threatened with closure should be allowed to relocate into rural shops in a bid to retain the service. Councillor Martin McDermott says while local shopkeepers are open to the idea of relocating postal services within their premises, the government isn't as forthcoming. He says that's unfair as the closure of post offices will have a knock-on effect on rural shops.
In North Donegal here in particular, is extremely badly affected. Like, we have up to 7 post offices now, and if you take the ones that's been closed, they will be closed over the next couple of months, and you know, that's very detrimental to rural Inishowen and to the people of rural Inishowen. And you know, I think this needs to be seriously looked at by the government and by the post office association themselves to, you know, relocate those post offices to shops within rural Ireland, and the shops that are in those little rural parts of Inishowen are prepared, and I've met with a number of them, are prepared to take on the post office network and take on the post office structure. But, you know, they're saying that they're not going to relocate these post offices, and I think that's going to have a big knock-on effect to the rural areas. You know, with the post office closing, the fact that then that those people have to move then to the bigger towns to do their shopping, to pick up their post, to go to the post office, you know, that takes a lot of the trade that those small shops are dependent on, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that really make the wick for them. If that trade's taken away, the next thing you know, that those shops are not viable no more, and that will be post offices closed, shops closed, and, you know, where are we going in rural Ireland? Because if we keep going down the road, we're going down the path, within the next 5 or 6 years, there will be nothing left in rural Ireland.
A final tender has been submitted for the National Broadband Plan. A number of groups had pulled out of the bidding process, leaving only one contender. The bid by eNet will now be examined to see if it fits the criteria to roll out high-speed broadband to rural Ireland. Communications Minister Dennis Naughton welcomed the bid.
Earlier today, the remaining bidder in the National Broadband Plan procurement process submitted its final tender to my department. Over the coming weeks, the department's procurement team will evaluate that submission that was received earlier today. I'm looking forward to receiving the output from that particular evaluation.
Police in Derry are appealing for information following a hit and run on the racecourse road yesterday afternoon. Shortly after 4 o'clock, it was reported that a child was struck by a silver car. The young girl was taken to hospital for treatment to injuries which are not believed to be life-threatening. Inquiries into the incident are ongoing, and police are asking anyone who witnessed the collision or has any information, including dashcam footage, to come forward. Local councillor Kevin McKnight has been giving more details as to how the incident unfolded.
People should be driving safely anyway, but especially when they've just seen a bus coming up that road. They would have known school children would have had just got off, so they should have adjusted their speed accordingly.
As you said, one motorist had actually stopped to allow the children pass. Now, was the motorist who hit the girl, was he or she coming in an opposite direction, or did they actually effectively overtake?
They were coming from the opposite direction, I believe, and they just hit the girl, and she ends up lying on the hedge at the side of the road. Obviously, it's going to be a long process, and for broken bones, it's a long process anyway, but there is going to be a lot of recovery involved for the young girl, and I just wish her the best of luck in that recovery. And obviously, just again, appeal for anyone that knows anything about the incident or who may have been involved to please come forward, because the family will want answers of why their little girl was hit, why they didn't stop. So the family deserve answers on top of everything else.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal Club Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time's latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Starting with soccer, and Spurs are the first Premier League side in action in the Champions League group stages this evening. They're in Milan to face Inter. That game starts at 5:55. Mauricio Pochettino has made 5 changes from the side it lost to Liverpool on Saturday, with Serge Aurier, Davinson Sanchez, Ben Davis, Eric Lamela and Hong Min Son all starting tonight. The other game in Group B this evening sees Barcelona entertain PSV. That's also starting at 5:55. Well, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp, he'll give Roberto Firmino every chance to play in their Group C encounter with PSG at Anfield. The Brazilian striker suffered an abrasion to his eye in Saturday's win over Spurs. Elsewhere in that group, Napoli, they're away to 1991 winners Red Star Belgrade. Those games start at 8 o'clock. In the Championship tonight, there could be a debut for Wes Houlihan in West Brom's meeting with Bristol City. That's one of 7 games in the Championship. Early frontrunners Leeds, they welcome Preston to Elland Road. And Frank Lampard's Derby, they take on Blackburn. Elsewhere, it's Stoke against Swansea. Aston Villa, they play Rotherham. Ipswich against Brentford. And Wigan play Hull. In other news, Ivan Gazidis has resigned as Arsenal chief executive to join Italian side AC Milan. Gazidis has been with Arsenal for just under 10 years. In Gaelic games, Tyrone attacker Conor McAllister's ankle injury is not as serious as initially feared. The Clonmel man suffered what was reported to be a, to be a break in a championship game on Sunday night, but it has been confirmed as a dislocation. His season is over, but the less severe nature of the injury means he's likely to be able to return on schedule to pre-season preparation for Tyrone's 2019 campaign. Meanwhile, disquiet over the throw-in times of last weekend's Tyrone Senior Football Championship fixtures has led to changes to this weekend's schedule. Now, the problems arose due to a directive that extra time, rather than a replay, is to be played in the event of a draw in all fixtures. This weekend, afternoon games will be brought forward by 30 minutes, while evening ties at venues with no floodlights will start an hour earlier than originally scheduled. Two Donegal women are in Melbourne, Australia for an international rookie camp in the hope of securing a contract for the 2019 AFL season. Donegal full forward and Ulster Championship winner Yvonne Boner from Glenfinn and Killigordon woman Emer Gallagher, who plays AFL in Belfast with the North East Cooks, have made the trip down under. Boner has sacrificed playing in the Donegal Senior Ladies final on Sunday against Mavill to pursue her dream of playing in the AFL. Yvonne and Emer join nine other Irish female sports stars in the camp, which starts on Saturday the 22nd of September and runs for a week. In other news in Gaelic games, the Mayo Ladies Football Executive have offered their public support to manager Peter Leahy and the remaining members of the football panel. It follows a press conference where the 12 departed players doubled down on claims of player welfare issues and unhealthy environments. Former captain Sarah Tierney talked of being undermined and intimidated in her dealings with Leahy's management team. The Mayo LGFA say they didn't encounter anything approaching a player welfare issue in their attempts to resolve the situation. They add that mediation was attempted but brought no resolution, and that the departed players have only exacerbated matters since. Elsewhere, GAA players spend up to 31 hours a week on inter-county commitments. That's according to a new study from the ESRI. The study was commissioned by the GAA and the GPA and focused on 2016 players. The busiest players were aged between 18 and 21, while the players' mental well-being was poorer than the general population. In hurling, All-Ireland champions Limerick will have the first week of next year's Munster Championship off. John Kelly's side will begin their provincial campaign in week two at home to Cork. The first round of fixtures will see Cork face Tipperary and Waterford face Clare. The Munster round robin gets underway on May the 12th. In some doping news, Sport Ireland have joined the chorus asking the Russian anti-doping agency not to be reinstated. RUSADA will discover on Thursday whether or not it will be allowed to return to world sport. The World Anti-Doping Agency had suggested a compromise which would allow RUSADA to resume its activities. Sport Ireland Chief Executive John Tracy, he claimed RUSADA are yet to satisfy two criteria of its roadmap to compliance. Ireland is one of 13 countries to express their dismay at the possible reintegration of RUSADA, and Linda Helland, a WADA executive committee member, has broken rank, saying she'll vote against Russian reinstatement. In boxing, Billy Joe Saunders has been charged with misconduct by the British Boxing Board of Control over a social media post police described as sickening. The WBO middleweight champion has apologised for the video in which he tells a woman he will give her £150 worth of drugs to perform a sex act. The BBC will hold a hearing next week to investigate the incident. Saunders is due to defend his title against American Demetrius Andrade in Boston on October the 20th. And boxing promoter Eddie Hearn, he believes British heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua faces the biggest test of his career to date when he fights Alexander Povetkin this weekend. The unbeaten IBF, WBO and WBA title holder fights the Russian at Wembley Stadium on Saturday night. Hearn has said Povetkin should not be underestimated.
He's the third best heavyweight in the world, ranked number one by the WBA, number one by the WBO. One loss in his career to Vladimir Klitschko on points. He's got a great pedigree. He's got a lot of experience.
Finally, for this evening in golf, while the 2018 edition of the Ryder Cup is still 10 days away, the venue for the 2036 edition has been revealed. The USPGA will host the tournament at the Congressional Country Club in Bethsaida. It'll be the first time that the Maryland course will have hosted the famous tournament. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the Gaelic of the Neshoah Municipal District is appealing to motorists to adhere to the speed limit while travelling through the village of Redcastle. Councillor Martin Farn says since the closure of the post office in Quigley's Point, there has been an increase in traffic of those availing of the service in Redcastle. He is now calling on Donegal County Council to install traffic calming measures in the area.
They recommend travelling through there at 60 kilometres an hour, no more. And that's not happening in a lot of cases. And this has been brought to my attention by a number of local people there, you know. With the closure of the post office in Quigley's Point, the people now have to travel to Redcastle at post office. And the footfall there has increased quite significantly. I was speaking to the postmistress there over the last 10 days or so. And again, she brought this to my attention. So I have been speaking to Donegal County Council in relation to this, and I'm hoping to meet up with the engineers this week again. But as I say, what I'm asking people to do really is, when they're travelling through the village of Redcastle, is to basically travel through at the recommended speed, no more than 60 kilometres an hour. And this is what people have to be doing. You know, it's a small village. It only takes you a few minutes to go through it. So to ask people to go through the village at no more than 60 kilometres an hour isn't too much to ask.
How confident are you that the council will not only consider but also implement these traffic calming measures in Redcastle?
Well, in fairness to the engineers, they know exactly where I'm coming from here, and they have met with me up on site, and they know precisely where I'm coming from. As of course, to carry out these measures, it takes money. And I've been assured that they're trying to secure funding at present to try to carry out this work.
The Garda Commissioner could be allowed to select his own management team from outside the force. A new report on the future of policing in Ireland has recommended giving Drew Harris more power. Casey O'Rourdan reports.
50 recommendations have been made by the Commission tasked with examining the future of the Gardaí. They've suggested replacing GSOC with a new independent complaints body and the creation of a strategic threat analysis centre, which would streamline how we manage our national security. The Commission also want to see internal governance strengthened by setting up a new board specifically tasked with helping the Garda Commissioner to reorganise the force. Kathleen O'Toole, who headed up the report, says the Commissioner should be able to pick who he's working with.
So the Commission must be given the authority to run the organization. Otherwise, the commissioner is destined to fail. The commissioner should have the opportunity to select his own team of both sworn and non-sworn people to help him run the organization.
For weather now, a blustery evening with sunny spells and isolated heavy showers. It will be largely dry at first tonight with clear spells and lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, investigations are continuing following a search operation in West Donegal yesterday. A number of rounds of ammunition were recovered during a raid at a property in Annagree carried out by Gardaí and members of the Garda Armed Response Unit. SIP2 representatives have dismissed claims made in a statement issued by the management at the Rapid Action Packaging Plant in Gidore concerning the conduct of union activity. Union members at the factory are due to conduct a 16-hour work stoppage on Monday in response to the company's refusal to recognise workers' rights to union representation for collective bargaining purposes. Gusts of up to 120 kilometres an hour can be expected from tomorrow morning as Storm Alley makes its way to Ireland. A status orange wind warning has been issued for 13 counties, including Donegal, with the yellow alert in place for the rest of the country. And Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has lent his support to protesters today in Dublin, calling on the government to reverse the decision to close over 150 post offices across the country, 17 of which are due to close in Donegal. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, September the 18th. The death has taken place of Anna McGrinder, née Noon, 6 Springhill Park, Strabane, and formerly from Melton. Remains are reposing at her home this evening from 6 o'clock. Fiona leaving her home on Thursday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, Kev Quigley, Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.
The death has taken place of Sheila McDade, name Montague, 7 Melmount Park, Strabane. Remains are reposing at her home tonight from 8 o'clock. Fiona leaving her home on Friday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Agnes Geary, sleeve snacked at Close Letterkenny, name McGrady, Joe Creeslaw. Remains are reposing at Archview Lodge, Drummondy, Letterkenny, this evening with rosary at 8 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, going to St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Mass on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Archview Lodge Residents Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Jim Burns, 10 Hazelbank Drive, Drumahoe. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 for service in St Peter's Parish Church, Colmore Road at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Altmacalvin Cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of wish to St Peter's Parish Church, care of Miss Sandra Boyd, 49 Cawhill Park. The death has taken place of Joe McElhaney, Con Mindorn, Clonmany. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:20, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired to Cardonna Hospice Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Arthur Morrison, Pier Road, Rathmullen. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Rathmullen Presbyterian Church, followed by interment in the adjoining burial ground. House private from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of McElwee Funeral Directors or any family member. And the death has occurred of Owen Gallagher, Windy Hall, Letterkenny, and formerly of Dunmore Lane, Fulcara. Remains will repose in St Finian's Church, Fulcara, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private at the request of the deceased.